Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Morning Yankee Show. It is Tuesday, May 5th, 2026. Hope it is doing great on this lovely Tuesday morning. The sun is shining yet again. Hopefully it stays that way. And hopefully it stays that way in the world of the Yankees chat. Things are going really well right now. Four-game sweep of the Orioles is indeed complete. And with that, the Yankees maintain the best record in the American League East and the best record in the American League as a whole at 24-11. Apologies for the delay this morning, chat. I have no excuse other than to say I forgot to pay my Optimum bill, so I kind of had to do that this morning, and there's a good little waiting period for it to click back on. But it suggests on my computer that I have connection right now, so I think we're all good to go and ready to rock. Hope y'all are doing great. Click like on the stream if you have not already. Reminder, this is now 5 days a week, The Morning Yankee Show is. And also, programming notes, barring a change in plan scheduling-wise, I will be making an appearance on Talkin' Yanks later today. So looking forward to that. Anyways, I'm looking forward to a three-game set against the Texas Rangers. We'll preview more about that a little bit later on. But we're going to talk the details of the Orioles series and all the storylines to come out of that. We're also going to continue the Volpe conversation a little bit because we've heard now from Boone yesterday, Judge as well. And there's a storyline regarding that and George Lombard that I want to get into. So we'll break that down. But first, let's get into the four-game sweep against the Baltimore Orioles. It's a sweep in which the Yankees outscored Baltimore 39-10, which, by the way, best run differential in the American League at plus 76 for the Yankees. Next best is the Tigers, all the way down at 17. And with this sweep, the Orioles are now 9 games back of the Yankees. And I was actually pretty surprised because I consider them one of the winners of the offseason, how poor they actually looked. I know they have some injuries, but the Orioles did not play too great of baseball this past weekend, but who did play some great baseball is really the entire team overall. But Aaron Judge, another home run, 14th of the season, and of course it was a very special call by Michael Kay. This was absolutely brilliant. Of course, the passing of John Sterling yesterday, that happened live while we were on air, and there was a lot of remembrance going on and tributes, and it was an awesome night, and this was a big part of it.
And the pitch, high drive, right center field, going Judgian blast. Here comes the Judge.
We weren't losing today, especially anytime you lose a Yankee legend like John Sterling. That's a tough one, but the boys were fired up, ready to go, and run these same guys back who've been here, get another year in the Bronx, get another year in front of these fans. A lot of good things are going to happen.
Brilliant by Michael Kay. That was hearing that live in the broadcast. Obviously, we were live for the watch party. Naturally, I get hyped by a Judge home run, and it was special. It was box office first, at bat since the passing of Sterling, who we will never forget, and his memory will continue to live on through my future kids, my grandkids. His voice will forever be associated with the New York Yankees. And that moment yesterday was awesome. Shout out to Michael Kay, because that was absolutely perfect. So 14th home run of the year for Judge, and he was 2-for-4 on the night. He had a great series. He's 11 for his last 25, Judges, and now on pace with number 14 last night. He's on pace for 65 home runs. Now, throughout the watch party, we kept saying, oh, the White Sox play tonight. Judge now has the lead over Murakami. Let's just hope that Murakami doesn't go deep as well. Well, spoiler alert, he did. We're actually going to play the soundbite from that because this is getting pretty epic. It's very much a home run race going back and forth. And, Ben Rice is involved as well. We'll touch a little bit more on him. I'm not so sure he'll be in the lineup tonight, but he's all good to go. Reminder, it's day-to-day hand contusion. He's all good. Boone really emphasized yesterday it's just a bruise. Anyways, Murakami ended up hitting his 14th home run of the year last night. So, yes, very much a home run race going on between the two
sluggers.
Now I'm sounding like a classic cartoon announcer. Anyways, we're not going to keep playing loads of sound here, but it's a pretty interesting race. Take a listen to Murakami last night, ending up going with his 14th home run as well.
Whoa. Murakami, deep to center. Trout at the wall. Get out! Munetaki Murakami has now tied Aaron Judge for the Major League lead, his 14th home run of the season.
Alrighty, so there's, yes, Murakami and Judge now both tied with 14 home runs in the American League. But real quick, more on Judge. He's definitely locked in as of late. And he had 5 home runs now in his last 8 games. And the Yankee offense, in general, the series was terrific. And a lot of the games were close early on, but as they went forward, and Judge later would talk about this, about the importance of, getting to the bullpen And whether it be a close game early on doesn't mean they can't, you know, bludgeon the bullpen to death later in the game. And that's ultimately what happened in pretty much each of these four games against Baltimore. Again, outscored the Orioles 39-10 in the series. And again, it's very shocking, honestly, how poor Baltimore looked. I had considered them, and I guess I still should because it's early, but given the way that they looked, and we will play them again next week in Baltimore, a lot of rematches going on. We got Texas tonight after facing them last week. We'll play Baltimore after that on the road. But, yeah, I mean, it's weird with the American League, and this is the kind of conversation we get into as well with the Yankees, because whether it be the poor starts that seemingly almost every team in the American League has gotten off to besides us. So you look at the Toronto Blue Jays, which I very much am not counting them out. Baltimore, I won't, only because it's early, but the way they have looked, I'd be inclined to do so. Boston, I am counting out. They're terrible, and they're off to such a bad start. You know, I can't see them being much better than this to get out of that hole. Detroit, yesterday we find out Tarek Skubal, he's landing on the IL. Not with, you know, it's not Tommy John surgery. He will be back at some point this year. It's, I believe, the exact surgery essentially that Carlos Rodon underwent, you know, to remove loose bodies, which I believe is essentially just bone spurs. I'm not a doctor, but Skubal will be back later on this year. But obviously, that's a devastating blow for Detroit. And they've gotten off to a far from ideal start as well, as has the Seattle Mariners. And we mentioned the Toronto Blue Jays. The Blue Jays, I would be shocked if they don't make the playoffs. And, you know, we'll be playing them after we got Texas tonight for three. And then we begin a road trip. We go to Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee, then Baltimore. Then we come back to New York for the Subway Series at Citi Field. Following that three-game set against the Mets at City, we then have Toronto. I would be very surprised if the Blue Jays aren't at least, you know, back to 500 by then. And to a degree, I'm kind of rooting for it. But I think they're very much going to be in the mix, and I would not count them out whatsoever. Maybe just out of respect, but also they've legitimately been banged up by injuries like no other team. It's pretty insane. And I want them to get healthy because I want to beat them fair and square, and I anticipate that we will. But yeah, Baltimore, not good. Boston, not good. Seattle is good and will be good, but so far they're off to a tough start as well. I mean, just looking around the American League, and Chris Kirshner of The Athletic had a great article yesterday. It was prior to the series finale, but you know, most points stay the same. And I think it's a no-brainer. His headline was, the Yankees are looking like the class of the American League, and I'm kind of taking that same tune here, but it's not even really a conversation at this point right now, where the Yankees are clearly, definitively the best team the AL has to offer. And an interesting stat, and this is very satisfying when you put it like this, but the Yankees now, with their recent, you know, offensive power surge, and that was a big thing that we needed, the home run ball is very important. As we always say, with fundamentals, good pitching, strong defense, not making silly mistakes in the base running or on the base paths, all those things are important as are home runs. You really can't take any of those out of the equation, especially when talking the Bronx Bombers. It's kind of a tale as old as time with us, and we're hitting home runs again. Anyways, the Yankees have scored, guys, the most runs in the American League. The Yankees have also given up the fewest runs in the American League. So we've had essentially the best offense in the league and the best pitching staff in the league. Simple as that. I mean, you look at, obviously, you know, what's to come with Cole, who's, Gerrit Cole's a few weeks away now. Carlos Rodon will make what could be his last rehab start tonight at AAA and then possibly return during that road trip. But, you know, with the current state of our pitching staff, we've talked about it a lot with, you know, the rotation. Another pretty good weekend of pitching, starting pitching by the Yankees. Max Fried, ultimately his final line wasn't great. Even Cam last night, you know, he navigated through a lot of trouble. And, you know, in the very end, shout out Jake Bird, by the way, with a big strikeout. But, you know, it wasn't a great outing for Cam, but what's a bad outing for Cam? It's 5 1/3, one run, which even furthers, again, like we've talked about a few weeks ago, like the narrative of him being an ace, which is set in stone now. But like yesterday, Cam didn't have his best stuff, although the fastball was great. I don't want to say he didn't have his best stuff, but ultimately, like, you know, he did get into some trouble and was for the most part able to navigate around it. But you know, even when the rotation hasn't been great, like Ryan Weathers wasn't spectacular the other day, but he still gave the Yankees, you know, a winning effort, goes 5+ and looked good. The bullpen, we know, is the one part of this team that is not World Series caliber, although they do rank towards the top of the league in bullpen ERA, in large part because of the guys we talked about yesterday. Fernando Cruz has been great. Brent Hedrick has been relied upon more than any reliever in the Yankee bullpen. He's been terrific. Tim Hill continues to be awesome. And David Bednar has actually been pretty good as well. But yeah, there's no question the Yankees are the class of the American League right now. And there's a big difference between, you know, it reminds me of a conversation we've had many years, whether it be this time last year. And a big part of this has to do with literally the competition that surrounds us. I mean, the American League is, you know, somebody's got to win it. And right now, we look like the clear and far and away favorite. as we kind of did in 2024. But even then, granted, things can change. But in 2024, like, Baltimore was a pretty good team. You know, we only won the division by a game that year. And, you know, the Astros are still, you know, kind of relevant at that point. They made the playoffs, but were bounced early. Just looking around the league, I mean, who is going to stop this Yankee team? And by the league, I mean the AL. The World Series, will deal with it when we get there. And I'll tell you, this team can beat the Dodgers. Assuming the bullpen is taken care of, this team can beat the Dodgers. No question about it. But, yeah, it's pretty fascinating. One, from just, you know, I'm excited about it. I wouldn't mind a little bit of competition. Not even trying to sound like a punk. I'm not being the whole Yankee fan right now, although I will gladly play that role. But I think it's Toronto. I think it's Toronto and Seattle. But Seattle does not scare me. They never scare me. It doesn't mean they can't beat us in a series. Of course they can. Their pitching is really good. And, you know, like, J-Rod's only going to get better and better. He's been pretty decent for this time of year, given his track record. I mean, the Mariners are a good team. Absolutely, they're a good team. But I still would say, if there's one team where I had to pick that I would fear long-term, it's still the Blue Jays. Kind of out of respect, but also at some point they will get healthy, and you figure at some point things will start to level out a little bit, which we knew going into this year it would on the opposite end. Things very much worked out for them last year. The odds of that replicating itself were very slim, and we're seeing that right now. But a big part of their struggles have been injury-wise. Anyways, some more things really quick to wrap up the series against Baltimore. So Judge, we know, with a great series. He's, as we mentioned, 11 for his last 25, 14th home run of the year last night. Got to shout out Cody Bellinger, which we were live on, what was it, Saturday when we went live? We were kind of talking about, yo, Bellinger's been good, but we could use a little bit more power. And we talked about this yesterday, but he, of course, had his two-homer game on Saturday. And on the series, Cody Bellinger went 8 for 16 with this two-run triple last night, which, you know, furthered the game to be broken open. The Yankees, again, every single game, it would be close early, but later on, after they would get out of the get the start out of the game, they would just take it to the Orioles bullpen. And they did that last night. Bellinger, two-run triple. His OBP is now up to 367 on the season. So a great series for him. Trent Grisham, got to shout him out as well. We've talked about him at great length regarding, you know, his struggles results-wise, but how the underlying metrics have very much suggested that he's hitting the ball just as hard as last year. A big issue has been, you know, we talked about him not pulling the ball in the air. He is starting to hit for some more power, which is awesome, including this series. He was 5 for 15, including a home run, but these two doubles yesterday, as well as a double on Sunday, he's still hitting 176, and we know about the hard hit metrics and all that. He also has a brutal batting average on balls in play. It's, make no mistake, I mean, not to ever excuse, like, results and stuff like that. I mean, at this point you can, but if Trent Grisham is hitting 176 come season's end, we will address it as such. Like, that's not a thing. I don't like to use metrics as a reason to celebrate. It's more so an indicator of something that could pan out. And with Grisham, you figure it will level out with the batting average. And, you know, he's still walking. His chase rate is great. We've talked at length about him hitting the ball really hard and his terrible luck so far. A series like this furthers the idea that he's going to be on his way back, whether it be to the production we saw last year, which was an 800-plus OPS, 34 home runs, or just a guy that plays really good defense in center field, has a great eye, and can hit the ball for some power every now and then. At the very least, if he can give me that, maybe not the ideal leadoff candidate, but that's a worthwhile baseball player, especially when Jason Dominguez, who had a good series as well. I love Jason. I love Jason to death. He is not a capable major league outfielder. I saw something in the comments yesterday, which I respect your opinion, obviously. But somebody was saying the way you talk about Jason and his defense is ridiculous. It's not. He's not a defensive, a major league ready outfielder. He sure is hitting-wise. He's a great DH. And he'll have a role in that regard. Jason has a future here. I love Jason. But the Yankees cannot go into this season penciling him as a starting left fielder. Defensively, they just could not do it. So as long as Grisham maintains, you know, the good eye that he has, and you assume the luck will start to turn around a little bit with his defense in center field, I think we're in a good spot there, at least for the time being. So good things from him. Some more things from the series. Jose Caballero, I actually thought this was pretty big yesterday. So obviously named the starting shortstop after Volpe was optioned at AAA. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. But, you know, I could very well have seen a world, naturally, with, you know, how humans operate under pressure, not that everybody's the same, and Jose Caballero is certainly a dog, and he can handle himself no problem, but, you know, you get the starting shortstop job, we're all celebrating Jose Caballero, and the next thing you know, before you know it, he goes, like, one for his next 18, and knowing how baseball fans operate, it'd be like, oh, call up Volpe now. not that, you know, I think that would take a little bit for people to get there. But that RBI double, I thought that was big for Caballero last night. He ends up going 1-for-3 with a walk. And, you know, that's all in his essentially debut as the official everyday starting shortstop for the Yankees. Shout out to Caballero, and his defense continues to look great. More double plays last night. The defense at the middle is the main reason for me why I was so hesitant about Volpe coming back, because Jazz and Caballero have looked brilliant up the middle. And speaking of brilliant on defense, last thing here from yesterday, Ryan McMahon has continued to look pretty good at the plate. A couple RBI singles in this series, as well as besides a brutal error on Sunday, which ended up not hurting us, but he had a good defensive play last night. The only thing with him has been the throws. We've talked about that, but the glove remains exceptional. And long term, you know, you're not going to worry about McMahon's defense, although if it were to be a thing that we kept seeing, some poor throws, maybe. I mean, I guess I'm kind of in that zone of like, yo, McMahon, when he does feel the ball, I want to like ensure, hey, this is going to be a good throw, right? And it will be most of the time. McMahon's a good defender. There's been some hiccups here and there, but I just want to talk about the offense really quick. He is looking better at the plate. We talked about yesterday how he, at the time of yesterday's show, his last 15 games, his OPS was above 800, and he was hitting 289. And, you know, there was one at-bat yesterday which looked very early season McMahon-esque, where it was just like a brutal at-bat, quick three pitches, and he's out of there. But for the most part, yeah, over the last couple of weeks, his at-bats have certainly improved. And, you know, he had that RBI single last night, had the, at the time, go-ahead RBI single on Sunday. So, you know, between the defense that he provides, at least you would figure he provides, and the platoon with Rosario, third base is kind of working out right now for the Yankees. And we'll, again, touch more on that later, because it looks like George Lombard is going to be playing a good amount of third base in AAA. So, yeah, we'll touch on that in just a little bit. I actually have quite an interesting question to pose to you guys. But last thing regarding the series, I thought Judge, we're going to play some more sound here, his post-game interview. I think Judge has actually been stepping it up a little bit with his responses this year. He's actually been giving us, while still surrounded by a little bit of fluff, it's actually, there's a nice interview sandwich in there with like the meats and potatoes of it. He's actually giving you a little bit of substance. Here he is discussing the Yankees and their philosophy of getting to the bullpen and just what this offense can do, as well as the importance of, you know, the winning the final games of the series, finishing the job, and the difference that can make long term. Here's Judge.
I think the biggest thing is we can kind of get to the bullpen early in a series and get a couple arms that, you know, teams probably don't want to throw. I think that's what you see, big offensive explosions like that. You got to stack up these wins as much as you can, because, you know, this tonight could be that one game that helps us win a division down there in September, October. So,
yeah, and that's something that, you know, even when the Yankees don't end up putting a final score of like we saw against Baltimore, you know, we're facing Jacob deGrom tonight. And I loved last week's game against deGrom, where we only beat the Rangers by a couple runs, and deGrom shut us down for the most part. He only allowed one run over six innings. But, of course, he was facing Cam, and Cam outdueled him. DeGrom went six innings, one run. Cam went six innings, shutout. But they were able to eventually get DeGrom out of the game, tack on even just a few more insurance runs later on against the bullpen. And that's a big difference between this year's team and years past. One, like, the lineup probably with this pitching staff in years past would have been much better off. And that's the main point here. But whether it be the defense included and everything that we're doing correct fundamentally, there's going to be times where, all right, yeah, you do only score one run against Jacob deGrom or one run against the opposing team starter, whether, you know, they're great, decent, elite, whatever it may be. You eventually get to the bullpen. Ideally, you tack on a bunch of runs, but even if just a couple runs of insurance, the pitching staff is so good, there's a good chance come the ninth inning, we've only allowed one or two runs on our end. So more than ever, as we've continued to discuss, and we will continue to discuss because it's, you know, a fun storyline. The Yankees are freaking good. We're better set up to win games than we have been in any year prior to this of the Aaron Judge era. And it's only going to get better from here. At least you would figure on paper with the return of Rodon and Cole. Again, Rodon will be making his potentially final rehab start tonight at Scranton. And then Cole will be back in just a few weeks, which is pretty insane. Cole will be back in a few weeks. Like, that's very close. I don't say that as like, oh, that's far away now. Like, oh, Cole will be back at some point. Cole's coming back in May. Anyways, on the topic of that really quick, we should temper our expectations a little bit early on with Gerrit Cole. There was a good question last night in the watch party. Somebody was asking me, they're like, Dan, do you think Gerrit Cole is going to be a sub-4 ERA pitcher this year? And I was like, I think after his first five starts, from that point forward, starts like 6 through 20 or whatever it will be, he'll be a sub-4 ERA pitcher. But the first five, understand, there is a adjustment process coming back from Tommy John, or just, you know, guys usually do struggle in their first, sometimes the first year returning from surgery. So to be honest, like, there could be a world where you know, the regular season of Gerrit Cole, particularly early on, is a frustrating watch, especially coming off of, you know, this is going to send Ryan Weathers to the bullpen. So it's a situation to where, you know, we might have some Yankee fans being like, oh, put Weathers back in when Cole has a couple bad starts in a row. We got to be patient with him. And there might even be a world where come season's end, a full 20 starts worth, he finishes with a 4.5 ERA. I'm just saying, like, I would say that's possible, but come the postseason, he's going to be Gerrit Cole. That's really the main thing. We want him to be, you know, obviously healthy, no setbacks. That's first and foremost. But, you know, officially back on track, Gerrit Cole, for the most part, by the time October hits. So just putting that out there now, we really should make sure we're ready to be patient with Cole. Got some Twitter notifications. Anything interesting? Not so much. A lot of really cool tributes to John Sterling last night, by the way. The Mets, on their radio broadcast, I didn't see who it was. I assume it was Howie Rose, but when the Mets won, they finished saying, the Mets win. And like one of the, actually, I saw it too late to change it, but one of the broadcasts, the Murakami homer, they went, it is high, it is far. Really, really cool stuff yesterday around the baseball world. And it's one of those moments where, you know, I would like to operate under a similar ilk if there's a situation with another team and, you know, they lost a broadcast or something along those lines. Like, the respect that was shown amongst other fan bases yesterday was actually, like, really cool. Borderline heartwarming. Even some Blue Jays fans were touching my heart yesterday, chat. But anyways, yeah. So the what Judge said there I really liked. And again, he's offering a little bit more, you know, nuance and context to his answers. It's not so quick. It's not so Walmart and generic. Again, surrounded by some fluff, but good stuff by Aaron Judge in that post-game interview, particularly with the bullpen thing and then also mentioning the importance of finishing series off. And I liked what he said in the post-game sound with Meredith, how we weren't losing that game today. And he was talking about, you know, after losing John, but then he also goes on to say, you know, we have Cam pitching. And yesterday was a game that you should have won, and they did. Four-game sweep against the Orioles. The Yankees are now 24-11, first place in the AL East. They lead the Rays by a game and a half. We may have to talk about the Rays soon, because the Rays, I don't look at them as like a long-term threat AL East-wise, but whether it be just how good they're looking, just looking through some stats yesterday in the watch party, Nick Martinez has a sub-2 ERA. So, I mean, if he's going to be that good, if their pitching's going to be as good as it's been, I have to do more of, I guess, a full deep dive on why they've been so great, but they truly have been great. So between that and also, you know, the way the American League looks, would it shock me if the Tampa Bay Rays make the playoffs? Like, no, it really wouldn't. So, yeah, they're currently in second place behind the Yankees, a game and a half back. And then, yeah, you got Toronto. They're pretty far behind right now, still under 500. We talked about Baltimore and Boston. But, yeah, I mean, it's not even a hot take right now. I don't think anybody would really dispute it, whether, you know, you're Yankees Avenue or Blue Jays Avenue. Right now, it's looking like the Yankees are the class of the American League. That, of course, could change. But, yeah, there's logic to apply to it this year. It's not based off of solely just vibes. Anyways, four-game sweep the Orioles. Let's move on to this. So, of course, Volpe optioned to AAA yesterday. We talked about that at great length. But I want to continue this conversation with a couple of questions to pose to you guys that I've been wondering about, but particularly because we heard from Boone yesterday, we heard from Judge, and Boone was asked about it, and he pretty much made it pretty clear cut as to why Volpe was optioned. It's for the reason that we know. Caballero has been great, and he goes on to say, and we'll hear from him now, it was as simple as that, just how good Caballero has been and how well the team is playing with him as their starting shortstop.
It's really as simple as that. It doesn't change how we feel about Anthony or the kind of player we think he is and will be. But in this moment of time, we felt like this was absolutely the right thing to do. And
alrighty. So, yeah, just, you know, first time hearing from Boone since then confirms what we've been knowing was the case. And then yesterday or Sunday night, it became official. I'm very curious about so we'll hear more from Boone about the positional plan for Volpe, but it sounds like he's going to play shortstop. And in the case of Lombard, he's played a lot of short. He's played some third base. I wonder what is the soonest we could see Volpe back up in the big leagues. Now, there's obviously the injury scenario that could happen. You know, God forbid, knock on wood, a middle infielder gets hurt. Like, if Jazz were to go down, that could call up Volpe. And I'd be curious if, not putting this into the world, and I don't think Jazz is going to get hurt. He's, you know, usually pretty good from being injury prone, I guess. But, well, he got hurt last year. Anyways, maybe in that case, Volpe would play second. But if there's not an injury, how does Volpe get up here? Truly, because I was thinking last night, is there a world where we may see Volpe at AAA through the entire summer? I would say that's possible. Like, if there's no injuries, which is ridiculous to say because obviously there can be injuries. But for all we know, there's a bunch of injuries, but it's not anything to do with the infield. And if that's the case, you would essentially need – there's one thing that could happen. Injuries aside, it's Javier starts playing poorly. Now, I would anticipate come the postseason, Volpe will be on the roster no matter what. Like they'll – and, you know, Judge talked about this. We'll hear from him as well. He talked to Volpe last night. He says for 30, 40 minutes. And he mentioned to Volpe about the idea of, like, you know, any way possible, get you back up here as, like, a utility guy. Judge and Volpe do legitimately seem to be close. And it sounded like he was kind of, like, giving him a little bit of advice, like, you know, maybe multiple positions, get you back up here as a utility guy, anything to get you back up here. And that might be, like, what it takes, at least long-term, like, postseason roster-wise. He could be, you know, the backup infielder, which, you know, would just be the reverse of the roles that was initially planned. Volpe was the starting shortstop, Javier as a utility guy. I guess essentially those roles could flip. But also, Volpe off the bench is interesting because, man, you know, I saw a tweet the other day, and I haven't been loving a lot of the tweets going around that will pick out a certain play from Volpe. Like, shout out my guy Joe's. I love him to death. But that was just, you know, that one tweet he had about that one play that Volpe had. It was just, oh, man, like, we were already in a good, in a rough spot with Volpe, and that kind of just added fuel to the fire. Not that you shouldn't, you know, mention the bad, you mention the good, whatever it may be, but, like, Volpe's bet is kind of already made here. And, you know, when you see certain clips going around in the minor leagues, like, sometimes they're not even that bad. And it's just like, oh, people are just picking on Volpe to pick on him. There was one tweet the other day that actually caught my attention. Somebody was, like, watching a play where Volpe was scoring, rounding second, headed to home. And they're like, yo, does Volpe, like, low-key look slow rounding the base here? And I was watching. I'm not going to lie. Like, he did. He did. Now, it doesn't mean he's slow. He could beat me in a race, I think. But one thing about Volpe's game that has very much, like, faded away has been the speed. Like, he came up and you expected him to be a guy that would steal, like, 40 plus bases. And, you know, in hindsight, thinking back, remember, it was more so about not how fleet of foot Volpe is, not how quick he is. He would get good jumps. And more, you know, thinking about the profile, about his, you know, prospect projection coming in, like, I mean, the offense he was supposed to hit, so that's the main thing. If Volpe just ended up hitting, like, there would be really no issue with his career. But defensively, it was never like, oh, he's got a great arm, but he releases the ball really quickly. Base running, it was, oh, he's not that fast, but he gets good jumps, and he has, like, these hops, and he's really good with that. His career high in stolen bases, I believe, was 2024. He was in the upper 20s, and, you know, he's had success stealing bases, but it almost feels like that's been a side of his game that doesn't get talked about that much. That's kind of, you know, if we're to, you know, discuss him being a bust, which at this point, at least everyday shortstop future of the Yankees, like, that conversation he is a bust with, the speed has been disappointing. Just watching the clip the other day, like, I'm not sure, you know, how, if Volpe's quick enough to be a true asset off the bench either. And we know the defense isn't great. But anyways, so that was Boone. He just kind of gave us an answer, which we already knew, but good to hear it out loud. It's because Caballero's been great. That's simply why the Yankees did this, which ultimately we knew. Here is Judge on Volpe pregame yesterday talking about his conversations with Volpe. And he says he spoke for 30 to 40 minutes.
I did. I gave him a call once I got home before I was eating dinner just to kind of check on him, see what, you know, what they say, you know, how you feeling, what's going on, how's the shoulder feeling, really. And, you know, we talked for, you know, 30, 40 minutes. It was tough, you know. Anthony's my guy, but, you know, I know he's going to be more motivated than ever to come back here. You know, team's been doing well. You know, Caballero, his shortstop's been doing just an amazing job, you know, defensively and offensively. So, you know, it's kind of a tough position to be put in where, you know, how are you going to change things up?
So, yeah, good stuff from Judge there, too, giving us the clear-cut answer, which, excuse me, these are all things that we were aware of and we knew, but it is good still to, like, to hear it out loud, even from Judge. Like, that was a pretty decent answer there. Obviously, yeah, he's pretty close with Volpe. Anyways, not to, you know, stretch this conversation out, but last bit of sound to play. I want to hear from Boone to put a bow on what the plan is with Lombard and Volpe positionally at AAA.
We'll see. Right now, he's going to play shortstop, you know, if we have those conversations as the days unfold. George, like he's done a lot, we'll bounce around. And then, again, we'll keep revisiting this as we move through it. But George has already had a lot of experience playing third, second, short, all very well. So it won't be anything too different for George.
For George. For George. For George. I have a feeling Boone likes George. My question is, and this is something I'm quite fascinated by, do you think there's a world where Lombard could come up before Volpe? I actually don't think it's impossible. Like, what if, you know, we know once he got promoted to AAA, like, he's on the clock. As Curry mentioned, he's one phone call away. What if Lombard plays great at AAA, and in the meantime, Volpe hits 250? And no matter what, it's going to be interesting to follow what Volpe does. Like, I'll probably be checking day in and day out. Like, he's starting tonight as the plan at short. I'll be checking MILB at bat or whatever it is to see, you know, how he does. And for all we know, he might do great. And I think no matter what, like, I would like to see Volpe at AAA through the summer. You know, injuries, obviously, we talked about. Circumstances could change that. But just, you know, as things are sitting right now, like, that is a possibility. And in a case where, I don't know, to keep it simple, Volpe's hitting 260, Lombard's hitting 300, say a better OPS, and we know the defense is better with Lombard. And if shortstop thinks they're good with Caballero, well, Lombard's path has always kind of been, at least for this year, third base. And he's going to be playing third base. If he outperforms Volpe offensively, I won't put a prediction out there right now because I don't know what's going to happen with Lombard. I don't know what's going to happen with Volpe. But I'm just kind of posing to you guys, what do you think? Do you think it's possible that Lombard could get the call before Volpe does? I mean, that would just be, I'm not trying to pick on Volpe, but talk about rock bottom for him. And I mean, that would just further the conversation of, like, the Yankees going all in right now, which clearly they are. Clearly they are. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday, but it really just feels like the Yankees, you know, while they're playing well right now, of course, and at some point they'll hit a little bit of a slide, that's baseball, it feels like they know what they're doing. And in the case of if Lombard were to hit the big league club this year, all of a sudden everything we know about this regime of the Yankees would change. And you could, I mean, already it has, actually, so I didn't want to make it seem like we're not there already, but it would just further that idea, and I think it's possible. I at the very least think it's possible that Lombard could get the call before Volpe. Likely, no. If anything, like, we may see Volpe soon. We still may see him, I don't know, next couple weeks, and again, injury, circumstance, whatever. But nonetheless, it's going to be very interesting to follow Volpe down in AAA, which, you know, if he doesn't perform, do people just kind of, like, forget about him? Does he stop being talked about, or does, you know, get even louder? And if Lombard's performing better than him alongside, at, you know, at third base while he's playing short, like, what does that conversation become? It's interesting stuff, man, interesting stuff. But in the meantime, regarding his demotion and option, you know, we'll continue to follow what he does in AAA. But that kind of puts a bow on that conversation. We heard from the Yankees. We now know what the deal's going to be. And, yeah, Lombard and Volpe going to be playing side-by-side at AAA with Lombard, the Yankees' top prospect, for the most part, playing third base, and Volpe, majority of the time, will be at shortstop. Although Boone, remember, he did change his stance a little bit. Sunday, he said, Volpe's going to play shortstop. Well, yesterday, talking about his positional plans, he said, we'll see. But it does seem like, more often than not, he'll be playing short at AAA, and that'll start tonight, it sounds like. Alrighty, let's wrap things up here with some final notes. And of course, yes, the Yankees will be beginning a three-game set against the Rangers tonight. We took 2 out of 3 against them last week in Arlington, and that was a fun series. You know, of course, we lost the final game where the Yankees' offense, you know, rare time as of late where they didn't hit, got shut out by Nathan Eovaldi, who was just brilliant. He'll go in game two. But tonight in game one, it'll be Jacob deGrom again, who we did beat last week. We Cam out-dueled him, and as we mentioned, the Yankees got to the bullpen with a couple tack-on runs and ultimately won that game. I think it was like 3-1 was the final. Anyways, DeGrom the bump for the Rangers tonight. Elmer Rodriguez will be making his second career big league start. You know, the first outing wasn't great, but it's just one game. You know, what are you going to do? Wasn't terrible either. I mean, he navigated through, you know, some adversity and overall went 4 innings, 2 runs. Not the end of the world. Didn't look amazing, but also, you know, it's one start. What are you really going to do with it? He'll go tonight in game one against Jacob DeGrom, and it likely, or at least very much possibly, could be his last, at least start in this turn of the rotation. Because if Rodon is going to be back after this start, maybe we see Elmer make one more, depending on how the scheduling lines up. But if this is Rodon's last start tonight, which again, he's starting in Scranton, Rodon very well could be activated during the upcoming road trip, which begins in Milwaukee on Friday. So with that said, this could be the last start we see for Elmer, right now at least. You know, we're going to see him, whether it's in the bullpen or, you know, making a spot start here or there down the road. And if he's, you know, not traded this July, we'll see him in the rotation at times next year too. But yeah, possibly Elmer's last start for now tonight against Jacob deGrom in game one. 7-5 first pitch, that one's on. Yes, tomorrow in game two, Wednesday, Nathan Eovaldi, who again, he shoved last week, and it wasn't one of those times where, you know, a bum shuts down the Yankees, or even a guy that's good, but it's like, oh, the Yankees aren't hitting, and, you know, they lay an egg against this pitcher. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, Nathan Eovaldi truly, like, was on his shit yesterday. And going to the start, he had an ERA above 5. And, you know, some people who are more casual than others, which is fine. I mean, that's like me watching the Knicks. I get it. We're like, oh, of course, Yanks, you know, losing to this bum with a 5 ERA. I'm like, yo, you must not know who Nathan Eovaldi is, because he sure as hell, he may have a 5 ERA right now. He ain't going to finish with a 5 ERA. Nathan Eovaldi is terrific. And he was tremendous last week against the Yankees. Anyways, he'll go Wednesday night in game two against Will Warren, who we know has been brilliant, 4-0 with one of the best ERAs in baseball. That game will be on Prime. Wednesday night is on Prime. And then Thursday, for the first time this year, we'll see Mackenzie Gore. Battle of two Southpaws, Mackenzie Gore versus Ryan Weathers. Of course, Ryan Weathers, you know, come the return of Garrett Cole, that will be when he makes his, you know, knock on wood, everything, you know, if everything stands the way it is now, everybody's healthy. Come Cole's return, and assuming Rodon's all good, once Elmer's out with Rodon, come Cole's return in a couple weeks, that would probably be the end of Ryan Weathers for now in the starting rotation, because you're going to keep Warren in there, and then Weathers would go to the bullpen to need help out there. But, yeah, and he's been pretty good as well. Got the win the other day against Baltimore. He'll go in Game 3. So for the Rangers, DeGrom tonight, Evaldi tomorrow, Gore on Thursday. For the Yankees, Elmer tonight, Warren tomorrow, Weathers on Thursday. So three games set against the Rangers, who enter play a couple games under 500. But, again, compared to the rest of the American League, that's really not that bad, because there's just a lot of bad teams in the AL right now. Fortunately, we're not one of them, though, Chet. Not one of them. We're one of the best teams in baseball. And, again, as we wrap the show up here, the best stat, and it's so simple. This stat would hit in 1945, it'll hit in 2026, it'll hit in 2095. Most runs scored in the American League the Yankees have as a team, and they've also allowed the fewest runs scored as a pitching staff. Beautiful things right now, Chet. Beautiful things. One more note, Ben Rice, I wouldn't be shocked if he's out of the lineup tonight as well. But reminder, he's all good. X-rays were clean. He's day-to-day. left-hand contusion. It's a bruise. And Boone's really, again, emphasizing that. He's like, it's a bruise. Like, he's going to be fine, but we don't want to put him in there and have him not 100% and not able to swing, you know, to full strength. So wouldn't be shocked if Rice is out of lineup tonight. In the end, not the end of the world, as long as he's A-OK, which he is. All right, we will be live tonight for Game 1 of the Rangers, 7:05 first pitch. Again, DeGrom versus Elmer Rodriguez. We'll be live right around 7 o'clock. Until then, everybody have a great Tuesday. And, yeah, the plan is for me to make a little guest appearance on Talking Yanks later on today's episode. So hope to see you there. And, yeah, everybody have a great rest of your day. Go Yanks. And I'll see you tonight, 7 o'clock, Game 1 against the Rangers. That's all I got. This has been another episode of The Morning Show. We'll be live again with this tomorrow. Reminder, we're 5 days a week now at the show. We'll be live tomorrow at 8. But I'll see you guys before then, 7 o'clock tonight for Game 1 against the Rangers. That's all I got. I'll see you guys later tonight. Let's go, Yanks.